This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I mean, everything I've heard is more on the Grossbeck side that, you know, he wanted to stick around for more championships. And it seems like
I kind of wanted him to too, Kevin.
I know, seriously. And I think that's a bit less likely right now. And ultimately with Chisholm, all I've heard about him is that he is the real deal in terms of like his Celtics fandom. It's not some phony fake Celtics fandom. I think he is a real fan. And so you'd hope that this new ownership that it can at least channel some of what has made Wick Grossbeck so successful. And part of that, to me, like the key ingredient over the years, especially, you know, in the prime days of Boston sports, winning titles, competing for titles every year, is ownership empowering front offices to do what they think is best for the franchise. And Danny Ainge, he's hired in 03, trades Antoine Walker, fan favorite. He's willing to trade away Garnett and Paul Pierce to the Nets, get a haul back in return. And ultimately, I think that happened with the Patriots, with Belichick getting rid of Seymour early, and so on and so forth. It happened with all of these teams. Red Sox trading Nomar. That's the key ingredient, empowering a good, smart front office to do what they think is best. And so as long as Chisholm empowers Brad Stevens, who has shown with every move he's made to be a very savvy, very smart general manager, as long as they continue empowering him and giving him the money that he needs to do the job at his best, I mean, to me, that's all he's going to do above all else is empower Brad Stevens in this.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Into the final hour here on WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball, John Lyons with you. We got David Azer back behind the glass, broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. Coming off of a Red Sox 9-run victory this afternoon, game one of their 3-game series. Game two is tomorrow, pregame at 3:05, first pitch at 4:05. Sox and the Nats for some interleague action. That was a cut once again from Kevin O'Connor, who joined John as well as Megan Onalini on the midday show yesterday, talking about something that I think all Celtics fans were cautiously optimistic about when the news came through that the Boston Celtics were being sold. They were being sold to a guy who said all the right things in terms of being a green teamer, being a Celtics fan. Billy Banners was a nickname that I heard kind of thrown around in the hallways here for a guy that seemed very genuine in wanting to continue the pursuit of championships for the Boston Celtics. But saying it is certainly one thing. Acting on it and putting your hard-earned money on it is a completely different thing. So the perspective there of Kevin O'Connor is that Bill Chisholm will continue to empower, was the word that he used, Brad Stevens, in order to make the kind of moves that are championship worthy. Are you aligned with where Kevin O'Connor was coming from there?
I mean, that's my hope.
Yeah.
But if you look at so far, and they're in a weird place where it's like Wick is still the owner, but Chisholm is coming into being the owner.
Yeah.
But the biggest story of their offseason is getting rid of players that helped them win a championship, whether it's Porzingis, Holiday, Horford will probably go somewhere else. We'll see what happens with Sam Hauser, if they, you know, use him as a trade candidate, or Anfernee Simons, who they got for Holiday. So that's been the biggest story. So now, if they use that money, like we talk about with this with the Red Sox a lot, right? They'll use Mookie Betts' money to sign other guys. They'll use Devers' money to bring in other guys. And
yeah,
to this point,
so we've been told.
Right. To this point, it hasn't happened, and right. It causes us a lot of frustration. Now, to the Celtics' credit and their defense, first of all, they did win a championship 13 months ago.
Yeah.
And also, they have shown, right, like Kyrie left, and they did sign Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker, they traded for Al Horford, but they signed Tatum and Brown and Supermaxes. Like, so they have shown before that they'll spend a lot of money, but that's been the Wick ownership. Will this ownership group follow that model? Because I think ideally, in a perfect world, Dan, Bill Chisholm sits down and says, Brad, do whatever you want. I don't care what the money is.
Right.
Because that's largely what Wick did. Said, Brad, do whatever you want. You know, you want to bring in Holiday and Porzingis. You want to sign them new extensions. You know, you want to sign Derek White, the two Supermax players as well. Fine, go ahead. That's been great. Remember, Wick even said, I'll get paid in banners, right? That was great.
Yeah.
Is Chisholm going to take that same approach? And if you had to ask me, I wonder if Chisholm says, I'll take most of that approach. Whereas instead of them adding, say, a Porzingis and a Holiday, they had one out of those two guys like that, which is still, again, with two Supermax guys, should be enough to contend for a championship.
It should be, and I would also say it can be, because I have the utmost trust, as should every Celtics fan, in Brad Stevens' ability
to
work.
Yeah, to me, this isn't a Stevens question.
No,
it's
not at all.
It's a Chisholm question.
Yeah, 100%. And I would even trust him if, say, he has 80 to 90% of the resources that he had under Wick Grosbeck, where, yes, you can still spend. Yes, we can kind of get around the second apron, but we can't sit there year after year after year. If you get in, you need to get us back out within a year's time. I think that Brad Stevens has shown that he can maneuver in even some of the most unwinnable circumstances. I mean, getting any kind of discernible value in those clear salary cap dumps for Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis showed me that in one of the first times in Stevens's run, running basketball operations, where he had to make a tough decision and where he had to, you know, retool, so to speak, or reload is the word that I used as well, he was able to do it and get decent value and get at least playable assets and get the complete financial freedom that he needed. So even if that reality that you set up ended up being the case, we as Celtics fans and just people observing this franchise have been given no reason to believe that Brad Stevens can't maneuver in some situations that may be a little bit different from Wick over to Bill.
And much like we talk about the Red Sox, now they should always be a big spending team. Now the Celtics don't own their own building, but they should be a team that's in the luxury tax at least every year.
Sure.
And now I understand the second apron is prohibitive after a few years, because not only the draft picks thing, which I think is a little overrated, but like, come on, you're paying double the salary when you don't own your own building. Like that, okay, I accept that.
Yeah.
But there were some reports like, oh, should the Celtics dip totally out of the tax? No. And should the Celtics try to be below the first apron when Tatum comes back next year? No. You're the Boston Celtics. You're a marquee franchise. You have two Supermax players in their prime who are actually a good fit, right? Like, because that's another piece of this where there's a question around the NBA. Can you win with two Supermax guys and pieces around them? Or like Oklahoma City, do you want one Supermax guy in SGA and pieces around him? Of course, Oklahoma City is going to have two once Chet's eligible. I'd be shocked if he's not.
Right.
Because, and I think the Celtics, though, can. Because if your two Supermax guys are Memphis and it's Jaren Jackson and Ja Morant, I don't think you're winning a title with those two guys as Supermax. With Tatum and with Brown, I think you can. But it comes down to, does Chisholm say, all right, you have two Supermax guys, it's them and a bunch of other guys that keep us around the first apron.
Right.
Or does Chisholm say, hey, we have two Supermax guys, let's go above the second apron if we need to and try to win a championship?
Yeah, it's a great point, and I'm still willing to believe, again, until I'm given a reason not to, that there's going to be the green flag to at least, you know, spend where necessary, not overspend. And maybe
and you
don't
want to be Phoenix, who just spent top dollar on every single good player and it didn't fit.
Right.
And then they weren't good.
And I just don't think you have the basketball operations where you're going to back yourself into that corner. Yeah. I would wonder if maybe there is more of the cost effective way to do it is you try to get younger when you can. Maybe you don't see an acquisition of a guy in Porzingis or Holiday who are either in their 30s or vastly approaching them. Maybe you do try to get younger in certain strategic ways so that you kind of reset the clock a bit more regularly on some of these contracts. But that brings us to the Dame Lillard conversation, who is now going through a very similar recovery and recuperation as Jason Tatum is right now after suffering a very similar injury on a surprisingly similar timeline. And I ask you, just without the details of the contract and the fact that he's still being paid out and all that kind of stuff, does a Dame Lillard to Boston signing make any sense at all to you?
Yes, if he's a bench guy.
Okay.
And I say that because Dame is a guy that when he recovers, you know he's going to be a good scorer. Not a great defender, but you know he can run an offense and be a good scorer.
Right.
So if your starting lineup next year, so a year from now, is Tatum, Brown, White, Pritchard, insert guy at center. I don't know who it'll be.
Insert 7 foot tall human being
you
here.
Know, whoever that is. And then Dame is your sixth guy just coming off the bench as a score. Or it's
That's incredible.
Or Hauser's your sixth guy and Dame's your seventh.
Yeah.
And it's all he has to do is score with the second unit. I think that's a really good fit.
I love that.
And if you're below the second apron, you can pay him the taxpayer exception, which is $5 million. I'd love if they could get him for less than that. But $5 million a year for 2 or 3 years, I think that's well worth it. If he's going to be the let's call it the seventh man, assuming you keep Hauser.
Yeah.
He's the seventh man on your roster, and you can probably flip Anfernee Simons for a big man, unless Simons ends up being like a really good player. And he's been a good player, but if he's great, keep him. If not, see if you can flip him at the deadline for some size in your front court.
Do you think he plays, by the way, Simons for the Celtics?
It feels like he won't.
Okay.
It feels like
they're
going to
flip him. I think ideally
what you would do right now is flip Simons, get a big who's a starting caliber big, and then Pritchard and White are your two starting guards.
Yeah.
Like I think that, to me, is your ideal scenario. Hauser's your sixth man, and then obviously you're thin after that, I know, but you'll have to figure it out.
Right.
So to me, that part one of Dame being good is if he'll be a bench player for you. Because if Pritchard and White are your starting guards and he's the first guard off the bench to score, I think another piece of this, and Mego and I talked about this yesterday morning, can he also be a guy that not every time, but in certain situations, 30 seconds left, you need a basket to win a game, put him on the floor. Dame time.
Yeah.
And I think, because that's something that Tatum has hit a lot of those shots. He's also missed quite a few. And we've seen other guys, like Derek White has been really good in clutch time, but we've seen a lot other guys be really inconsistent. And part of that's a three-point shot. Part of that is maybe just who they are. But we saw even in the Knicks series, games 1 and 2, both ended with your supermax player getting the ball stripped from him. One was Tatum, one was Brown. So if you maybe have a closing lineup of Tatum, Brown, and then say White and Dame, and then insert fifth guy, maybe you want to go small and have Pritchard or Hauser, maybe you want to have a true big in there, then I think that can maybe help you win some games. Again, those games that come right down to the wire. You'd have to be able to rely on Dame's defense for that, but
right,
that's another piece of it.
I'm really intrigued by what you're outlining here. And this only carries so much weight.
And we're talking 15 to 18 minutes a game, right?
He
plays in the second quarter, a little bit in the third, and then not even every single clutch situation, but certain clutch situations. Maybe you're playing good defensively in the clutch, but you can't hit any shots. Bring Dame in. There you go.
This only carries so much weight when you're pitching a guy who has been a career starter and a you know, face or co-face of a franchise his entire career.
You're talking about, I think he's a 5-time All-NBA guy.
Right.
Something like that.
9-time All-Star, 7-time All-NBA, All-Rookie, Rookie of the Year, 75th Anniversary Team, All-Star MVP in 23-24. Like, I'm just reading directly off of his incredible resume, which is missing NBA champion.
Even NBA Finals, right?
Right.
He got to the conference finals with Portland.
Right.
And he dragged some of those teams in the playoffs.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, you'd have to see. But I think Dame, at least, I know he hasn't been in the finals, but I have confidence he would hit a big shot in the finals.
Like,
we've seen him hit big playoff shots. We've seen him hit other things. And this would be a good place for him to do it.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at, is where I'm sure you could probably get a couple of teams that would line up and say, we'll still give you starter minutes. We'll still make you
Miami will give you starter minutes.
Yeah, we'll still give you a chance to start and be a playoff team, but would you rather do that, or would you rather be a memorable kick-in-the-ass kind of piece of a lineup that wins a championship with a motivated and freshly healthy Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who would have just had a full season to be the number one, Peyton Pritchard, who you hope takes a step, same thing with Hauser and whoever else you get for your big, and really just kind of a now fully, quote-unquote, reloaded Boston Celtics, jump in as that veteran piece that is ever so important on a lot of championship teams in basketball, and have as good of a shot at it on any team probably that's not named Oklahoma City in a year's time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, could he go to Denver and maybe have a good shot? But I don't know if they could make the money work, right?
Right.
So we'll see. You know, could he go to L.A. and play with LeBron and Luka? Yeah, but this might be LeBron's last year, so we don't even know if he'd be here in 2 years. And Oklahoma City, you're right, but if I'm Oklahoma City, I have such an elite mix and they're all young, I don't know if I even want to add much to it.
Right.
Right? Like Houston, they add Durant, so I think they'll be really good this year. They have a great young core. Do they even say, oh, we want to add him for a year? I don't know. Like the Celtics, because of where they're at, I think they can afford to have him basically sit for a year and come back and be again. If he's that seventh guy, you know, second guy off the bench, then I think that's a really nice fit.
And I heard this mentioned, and I apologize because I cannot remember where I'm citing it from, but the fact that he was, you know, when he was in Milwaukee, I believe his family was still in Portland, yeah. So it was, you know, a big strain on him to be away from his family. So you can sign him up on that mid-level exception that you talk about and say, hey, go rehab on your, like, we'll check in, but go rehab and be with your family. Go get your personal stuff settled. You know, we'll keep in touch. We'll get you the best treatment and make sure that everything is going along schedule. But value what you need to value. Come back refreshed. Come back fully healthy on your own timeline. Because he, given how many hard miles are on his legs, is probably on more of that 12-month timeline.
He's 35.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Right.
So come back in a year's time on your own time when we have our mix fully together, and you'll be one of the most intriguing sixth men or seventh men or spot up shooters in the game with a chance to win a championship. And I feel like that's a pretty damn good pitch that you can put as well.
Yeah, and that's something too. It's also insurance that, like, let's say Baylor Shireman doesn't develop into a good shooter, right? Or Drew Peterson doesn't develop. You have someone that you know can play NBA minutes there. Again,
right.
A couple of years. So I think you just got to understand your expectations, Dame. Like, if you're thinking Dame's going to come in and come back from this injury and be an all-NBA player and in your starting lineup, yeah, technically it's possible, but I think that's unrealistic. Like,
yeah.
You got to look at Dame as, all right, I'm going to get him off the bench. He's going to hit some big shots in a couple playoff games, maybe in a finals game, and that's why he's here.
Right, and that's the beauty of it as well. Like, you also don't need that. He doesn't need to be the all-NBA starter. You have more than enough talent around him.
He'd be, at best,
guys
the fourth
with the same,
guy.
Right, and guys with the same skill set that would just inherently take some of the pressure off of what you're asking him to do.
And they can also then re-sign Porzingis after the season.
Oh,
you know, my pipe dream, Dan. My pipe dream.
Really?
Little bring back Porzingis at shorter money after this year.
Oh.
You have Dame coming back from injury, Tatum back, all of a sudden, okay.
That's a team I would really love to watch.
All right.
We'll keep an eye on that in a year's time. In the meantime, 617-779-7937. Earlier on in the show, we recapped the first half of the calendar year as we are now in the back half of 2025, which is bonkers to say in its own right. We recapped what has gone on with each of the four teams in Boston sports so far. On the back half of that, when we return, we're going to preview what we think will happen next. And a big part of the focus will go on to the New England Patriots because we kind of know where the other three are. The Patriots, you have people who are expecting 6-7 wins. You have people who are expecting 11 wins and everywhere in between. What is coming up next in 2025 is coming up after David Azar gets you caught up on what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, just a bit before 5:30 here on the 4th of July, Independence Day. Joey Chestnut, a winner once again in the hot dog eating contest. 70.5 hot dogs is what my man ended up with in his return to the mix after a year away because of the whole endorsed a different kind of hot dog deal that happened last year that led to the weird one-off competition on Netflix. But either way, a true American tradition like none other. Joey Chestnut, 70.5. John, have you ever heard of the 999 challenge?
Yes, actually, Cooper Boardman and Will Fleming talked about that on the broadcast today.
Oh, they were? Okay, yes. Perfect. All right. How do you think you would fare in a hypothetical 999 challenge?
Not well.
Okay.
Yeah, not well.
Okay.
Yeah. I might get to like 4-5-4 something. Yeah. Type. Like, 4-6. It'd be like a double play. It'd be like 4-6-3. Yeah. like that would kind of be how I would fare.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I like that. David. Have you heard of the 999 challenge? How do you think you'd do?
I think I would probably be with John there. Maybe 555, but
yeah.
Even that seems a little
like
steep.
That old Domino's deal, the 5, what is it? Or whatever the 555 deal. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or maybe it's Pizza Hut. They used to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I started totally thinking irrelevant. Of the 4, what's the Wendy's one? The 4 for $4.
Something
that's a
like
huge fan of the 4 for $4 as we get closer to dinner time, as you can tell here on WEEI Afternoons. I don't think I could do it either. I think I can maybe get to the 6 range. But my co-producer Stiz says this would be the easiest thing he's ever attempted to do.
999?
That is his opinion on. Yes. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it's not as difficult. I think it'd be more the food, honestly.
Yes.
Cause like, 9 beers in a 9-inning baseball game, so like 3 hours. Like, we're not endorsing this, folks, but like, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
But like 9 hot dogs on top of it, like that to me is where it would get difficult.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you just did the...
That's why I said 4-6-3, like the double play, like maybe I could do that.
But. Quick twin killing and then we're good and everybody else
it's
can
time
go
to
have
go
their
home.
Fun. That's yeah, right, yeah, very much so, because you're going to need a friendly bathroom after you attempt that. Okay, so as we mentioned before the commercial break, during the 3 o'clock hour, we had the conversation recapping where we are through one half of the calendar year 2025. New England Patriots, certainly in a better spot in July versus they were in January. Red Sox about the same, but Red Sox optimism among the fan base certainly waning. Bruins have taken a step back, but you could argue it was a necessary step back. And then the Celtics looked like they were going to get bounced by the Knicks anyways, but now their future is certainly a bit different than we thought it was going to be in May. So let's talk about now the second half of 2025. And I want to start once again with the area that I think is creating the most optimism, which is the New England Patriots. As we get now, we click towards about 3 weeks.
Days away from training camp opening, right?
Oh, there
July
you go.
24th.
So as what appears to be the beginning of a momentous occasion for what should be a step in the right direction, let's talk about ceiling and let's talk about floor for what the rest of 2025 could be for the New England Patriots. What's the worst? What's the best that you think this team can accomplish?
So I think the ceiling is 10 wins.
Okay.
And that's like if everything breaks right. Because you think about it, Mike Vrabel is a good coach, but it's still his first year here working with Drake May. Drake May's in his second year. You invested a lot on defense, and I think your defense is going to be a lot better. But it still might take them a month to kind of get rolling all together. You have some questions on the offensive line. You have questions at receiver, right? You have even... Like, and I like Terrell Williams as the DC, but he hasn't been a DC before as well. So you have some questions in there. And I think your schedule, it's much easier than it's been in previous years, but it's still tough enough. Like, you still have to play the Bills twice. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, yeah.
And I like that Raiders game in week one. A lot of people are penciling that as an early season win. Like, that could very well be a loss early on. So, like, I think if everything breaks right, you get all the bounces, you stay healthy, it's 10. I think if things don't break right, or you have some injuries, or things don't quite fit right, it's 6, I think, would be your kind of floor.
Okay.
Still better than last 2 years.
Certainly.
But, yeah, 6 would be your floor.
And that's the intriguing part, and something that I really appreciate about the way that they went about rebuilding this roster during the course of the offseason. They brought in a number of veterans, just professionals, dudes, guys that you know will play a certain role, will bring it every single day onto the defensive side. Really prioritized adding veterans in free agency on the defensive side of the football. And I think that's a really intriguing way to go about it, because you knew that your offense, even at its best, you were still going to lack a number one wide receiver. Your offensive line, you were hoping would take a step, but it's not going to be elite, I would imagine, by any metric that you measure offensive line efficiency. You knew there were going to be a lot of questions with pretty much every aspect of your offense. So to inherently move where your floor is on your group, well, let's at least build a defense, because even if our offense isn't scoring, even if Stephon Diggs doesn't get back to where he was a season ago with Houston, even if Pop Douglas doesn't take a step or Ramondre Stevenson continues to have butterfingers, all those questions on offense continue to happen, well, we'll still be in every single game. We'll still make it difficult for opposing quarterbacks. We'll still be able to force turnovers, maybe give our offense some short fields to try to take some of the issues away and get some free points on the board. And so that's why I think that 6 to, I'll even give you 7 win floor is pretty easily attainable for this group, because I think they added so much in terms of veteran talent on all levels of their defense. It keeps you in every single game you're playing.
And I think that's a big part of it. And when you look at the schedule, the Bills are one of the elite teams in the NFL. The Ravens are one of the elite teams in the NFL. I think the Bengals are in that neighborhood, and that's kind of like Tampa Bay's really good, but I don't think they're one of the elite teams.
Yeah.
So you're not playing a bunch of elite teams here. You're not playing this grueling schedule. So that's where I think, again, 6 wins, I look at it where, like, you should beat the Jets at least once. I think you beat Miami at least once. Like, I think you beat New Orleans, Tennessee, Carolina. Like, that's 5 right there.
Yeah.
Right. Again, so I think that's why your floor to me is in that 6 range. And if things break right, it's 10. I think it ends up being 9. I think it's.
Okay.
I think 9 is a good number. Like, if you walk away from this season, you're the Patriots, and you either win 9 games and make the wild card, or you win 9 games and just miss the wild card, like you're right in that border, you should feel a lot better about this football team.
That would be such a massive step forward.
Because I think 9 wins, the problem is, I don't think that'll get you into the playoffs. There's some years that it does, but you think, like, the Bills will win the AFC East, I think. The Ravens will win the North. The South is probably going to be Houston and then Kansas City in the West. So that's 4. But, like, I expect Jim Harbaugh in L.A. to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
I expect Joe Burrow in Cincinnati to be a playoff team. So that's already 6 right there. So then that 9 win range, then to me you're competing with Pittsburgh, Denver, are you going to be better than those 2 teams? Like, that to me, if you're in that group, you're one of Mike Vrabel, then I think you should be satisfied.
Yeah, a 9-8, even an 8-9 season where you're having meaningful conversations about playoff caliber games past Thanksgiving,
sure,
where we're getting into Christmas and these games still matter, and we're getting into Christmas and Drake May is still, you know, still has a not even has a firm hold on the starting job, but is firmly showing, I took a year 2 step and I've found a way to communicate with Josh McDaniels properly and really take ownership of this offense. You miss the playoffs if that's your circumstance. You know what? We won 4 freaking games last year with a completely different coaching staff and a completely different organizational philosophy than you had year over year. So that's why if this group, I know it's a super easy kind of landing spot in the first month of the season with the way the schedule is built up. If they went 2-2 or even, God forbid, 1-3, so much has changed that I would not be worried.
I think 2-2 would be solid.
I agree.
Because I look at it as, like, at Miami week 2, that's an uphill battle. And then Carolina, I think you win. But those other 2 games, like, to me, Vegas and the Steelers, I could see you winning one, losing the other.
Yeah.
Because, like, Vegas, you're playing Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. They've worked together before. Like, it's their first year there, but they've worked together before. It's right. Ashton Gentry's first game. I'm sure he'll come out with some pop. It's Max Crosby coming off the edge. And I like Will Campbell. I think he'll be good. But that's an elite pass rusher coming potentially against a rookie.
Yeah, it's a welcome to the NFL awakening, yeah.
Or, let's say you win that game. I could see Pittsburgh, if Aaron Rodgers is just good enough, and they have Metcalf, and Mike Tomlin's a good coach, and it's still TJ Watt there. Like, just so I could see those two games being a coin flip. You win one, you lose one. And so I think if you're out of the first 4 weeks at 2-2, you should be, I mean, 3-1 would be awesome.
Sure.
But 2-2 you should be content with that.
And maybe this is being overly optimistic, but even if you end up 1-3 in those four, for example, that's how you get out of September. People are going to be losing their minds. And I can't say that I will. You have so many different pieces that you're trying to sort out. And that's every level of this organization. This offense is going to be really fascinating to see how the pieces mesh together. I don't think it's going to happen overnight, especially with the complexity with which Josh McDaniels designs an offense. You also have to take into account that you have a lot of guys with a lot of great experience on the coaching staff. So how are we working with the interpersonal communication in the final decision making between your coaching staff in terms of the designing of this offense? It's a lot of things that have changed, and it's great change. It was necessary change. It was change organizationally that needed to happen in order to finally leave the past behind and take a step forward into the new era of Patriots football. That's all great. These things take time, and especially when you have a lot of young players that are trying to execute that change, a 1-3 start, I feel like, would just be part of the growing pains of what you're trying to accomplish.
I think the scary thing, though, is 1-3, and then you have the Bills on Sunday night right after.
That's
so
also
that can
fair.
Turn to 1-4. But yeah. You look at after that stretch after the Bills, I mean, then you have the Saints, the Titans, and the Browns. Like, those are three teams that I think right now you're better than.
Yeah.
Like, the Saints have major questions at quarterback. They have some talent there, but they have major questions at quarterback. I think the Titans are one of the worst teams in the NFL. And then the Browns are all over the place, right?
Right.
They have major questions at quarterback as well. So, like, if you start out 2-2 and you lose to the Bills and you're 2-3, but then you can win two out of these, you know, next, like, then all of a sudden, okay, you're 4-4.
Yeah.
And then you're 4-4 heading into Atlanta, Tampa Bay, the Jets, the Bengals. Like, that's not an easy stretch, but can you get to your week 14 bye hovering right around 500?
Yeah.
And then because you come out of the bye and you have the Bills, which is a tough game, at Baltimore, but then the Jets and then the Dolphins at home. Like, to me, that's – if you can get to that bye, like, at five, right, or maybe one game over 500, then I think you're going to be feeling good.
Yeah, if you can keep that delta within a game, either over or under 500, because it seems, as you're reading through the schedule, it's almost kind of built baked into the pie that you can keep it. You'll get a get-right game for every get-wrong game to kind of use it.
Like, you play at Cincinnati, but then you're home against the Giants.
Exactly. Yeah. So you'll have a bounce-back opportunity in a lot of different areas of the way that the schedule is constructed. Okay, let's just do a quick minute each running through the rest. Second half of 2025 for the Boston Red Sox, expectations high and low.
I think they finish 500. My high expectations that they put it all together and they're in the ALDS.
Yep.
I think the low expectations is they finish fourth in the division below 500.
Okay.
I think they actually finish, though, 500 again. 81-81. I hate to say it, but
makes me so sad.
Yeah.
as long as Alex Bregman, John, I have an irrational fear at this point of them losing Bregman. I watch the way that he interacts with the young kids and interacts with Cora and just kind of acts as the de facto captain and bench coach of this team. I cannot live in a world, save from the Rafi Devers stuff and the fact that this was kind of the catalyst of it. He is becoming such an seemingly an important part of what they're trying to do. I cannot see him walk out the door.
You need someone in your lineup and your pitching staff that has World Series experience.
Yes.
And with Devers gone, he's the only guy.
Yes.
And I think he's a better leader than Devers anyway, but he's the only guy. You got to keep a guy like that around.
We just wrapped up the Boston Celtics conversation, but it seems like, given that we're just talking about the back half of 2025, if we're talking about the Celtics in that 4-6 range in terms of seeds in the East, seems like things are going relatively according to plan in a Tatumless world.
Yeah, I think, like, ceiling for them is probably the 4-5 seed.
Yeah.
Floor, though, could be 9.
Okay.
Like, you know, if, let's say, God forbid, like, Jaylen Brown twists his ankle, he's out for 2 months.
Yeah.
Or White doesn't play well, or Pritchard starts and it's not the same as when he's the sixth man. And then all of a sudden, you're like, ooh, wow, we're the ninth seed right now. Like, you know, that's tough. So I could see them ceiling five-ish. Floor is nine to me, though.
Whew, yeah. Man, what a departure that would be year
Give
over
Give you
year.
One prediction, though.
Yeah.
And this extends a little bit into 2026. Derek White's going to be an all-star, I think.
Oh, I like that. I mean, yeah.
I don't know if that's going to make you be the four seed in these, but he will be an all-star.
Right. Well, but the conversation around him this offseason has been fascinating. As people continue to put hypothetical trade packages together to get Jaylen Brown out of town, nobody has wanted to do anything involving moving Derek White out of town.
I think your championship core, the next time you win a championship, is going to be Tatum, Brown, and White. And that's your three.
Love it.
I really do. And I'm not putting him on the same level as them. I just think he's such a good two-way guard.
Yeah.
And the way he fits with them, I think that, to me, that's your next championship, probably 26, 27.
With Dame as your sixth man.
Yeah, that's the core, though. Those three guys.
One of the better complementary players, given the caliber of star power that he's playing alongside that you see in the NBA. And finally, the Bruins over the next 6 months. The high watermark for me is probably also the worst nightmare, which is, you know, fighting for a wild card spot, which is a fringe but still probably a couple points out of a playoff spot. And then worst case is this roster doesn't score and you're right back where you were in the cellar a year ago.
Yeah, I think best case scenario is the young kids are playing and you're a wild card team.
Yes.
So hear me out, right? That's best ceiling. Ceiling is wild card team.
Yes.
Best case is it's with the young guys.
Yeah.
Your floor? Top five pick.
Yep.
Yeah. And I know it's the lottery, but like that level of record.
Yeah.
We're talking about the second worst team in the East last year.
Right. So there's a lot of work to do to get into relevancy.
I think your floor, so if you want to say they'll be better than last year, third worst team in the East.
Oof.
Like that to me is your, I hate to say it, but I think that's your floor right now.
No, I think you're absolutely right. We're coming up on the end here of WEEI Afternoon's been a fun one so far here on this 4th of July. We'll wrap up as we do every single afternoon with Odds and Ends. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's AUDACY.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Back to wrap things up here on WEEI Afternoons. It's time for Odds and Ends. Quick trigger there, David.
My bad. I didn't realize that was not the instrumental, so I was just like, I better get out of there.
Yeah, no need for the FCC to not let us be.
We have enough problems.
Yes, we do. And one of them is not Odds and Ends, which is what it's time for now, which is sponsored by Cars for Kids. Your trusted charity for car donations also accepts donations for boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. How about that? Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. A conversation we were having off air will now boil over on air, which is usually a dangerous precedent to set. The Savannah Bananas are coming back to Fenway Park tomorrow and Sunday against their classic nemesis, the Firefighters. You know them, you love them, they fight fires, and they're here for you this weekend. We have differing opinions in this studio on the concept that is the Savannah Bananas. John Lyons, I begin with you.
Out on it. And I don't hate them, I'm not going to that.
Okay.
I'm not going.
So the...
It's like the Harlem Globetrotters. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I know what it's for, I'm not going.
Okay.
Stay home and watch TV.
Stay okay, and probably
I'll
not
mow my
watch
lawn
that
instead. I don't know.
I'm not going. I mean, it is a...
If Dan Ball invited me to go with him and had a free ticket, maybe I'd go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not going.
I mean, you're kind of going in Harlem Globetrotters fashion. You're going understanding that the baseball element of it is very much secondary. You're going for the dances. You're going for the viral moments, for the different kind of showy things that they do. And if you're going to enjoy good old-fashioned baseball, then you're going to hate your night at Fenway Park. Granted, Red Sox fans might do that already, but...
Yeah, a lot of them did on Wednesday when I was there.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah. How's the Savannah Bananas starting rotation? Because any trade deadline targets there?
I don't know.
Okay, just curious.
But the guy on stilts feels like he would bring a little something. Like,
How do you make the Savannah Bananas? Like, do you have to be a former ball player that's also entertaining, or are you an entertainer that they teach how to play baseball?
I think it's the former.
Okay.
The guys that
it's like
they
that
have
movie
actually...
Armageddon with Bruce Willis, right? They take the oil drillers and teach them how to be astronauts
one of the very same. I think you have to have some kind of professional experience. Like, the guys that they do have are legitimately talented. Like, they're not pulling any punches when they're playing. And I think either if you have a good social media following, that helps. I would imagine there are some kind of auditions. Like, you probably have to, it's probably like a baseball tryout mixed with an SNL audition that you have to go through in order to get it. We, when I was in New York, we interviewed the guy who's the owner, Jesse Cole, brag. And it was a really interesting, I haven't heard it yet, a energy like you read about. He wears this yellow suit everywhere.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting to hear his vision of how he perceives baseball and sport and entertainment and all this kind of stuff. And he's created they're selling out football stadiums at this point. So it's the gimmick felt like it would get tired, but now they're expanding and bigger than ever before. So maybe that's just a nuts and bolts sports perspective on it. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think their ability to travel over the country probably helps them.
Yeah.
Because they can go wherever people are, so that'll keep them selling out.
David Azar, pro or anti Savannah Bananas?
I'm pro. It, like we were talking during the break, it's like...
Entering
I really
Savannah,
enjoy
new podcast
the...
for David. Forget about entering Kenmore.
Yeah, stay tuned for episode 25 where we talk exclusively. We're not that far off if the Red Sox keep making
yeah,
us sad.
They are banana land on most nights as you're watching
As they
them.
Win by 9 runs today.
That's yes, right, yeah, yes, exactly, yes, and then yeah. lose 2-1 tomorrow. Anyways, all right, so David is pro. I am too, but I feel like it's one of those things where if I went and I saw them once, I'd be like, all right, I saw them.
Yeah.
I can tell people that I saw them, and on we trudge from there. So I very briefly broached the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, 70 and a half hot dogs consumed by Joey Chestnut this year. We then discussed briefly the 999 challenge, where you did identify that hot dogs would be the main issue in the challenge. So
4-6-3.
Yes, exactly. I'm never going to look at a double play the same after hearing that. So if you were in a situation where a food contest was inevitable, where, you know, your family was being held hostage and you had to beat somebody in a
nice
foodie.
Nice visual.
There
you
go. Absolutely. Yeah, nothing like heartwarming content at the
on
end
July
of the 4th of July.
Yes,
absolutely.
You, yes.
You know, a day of freedom, talking about your family being held hostage. Is there a food that you would say, this is the one I could compete against anybody and at least hold my own?
For me, it's got to be wings.
Okay.
I feel like I could eat a bunch of wings because my favorite food is probably chocolate cake, but you can't do that in eating contests. Yeah,
right.
I would just throw up.
Yes.
My next favorite fruit is chicken wings. So
okay.
I could eat a bunch of those, and they're small, they're handheld. You can kind of go through a bunch.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to dip them in water like the hot dog buns, which that's, that might be the grossest part.
It's so gross. And some of the guys dip them in other liquids that isn't water. So like one guy, and I don't know
Hawaiian
his name.
Punch.
But it's a red liquid. So he's got like, It's so gross.
That might be the grossest part about it.
I think
like, honestly,
so.
Because that is gross, but that's got to be the grossest
like,
part.
You know, puking, who among us? You know, like that happens every now and again. We
eat too much, get sick.
Or we eat, you know, whatever
your
consumption is.
Who hasn't eaten 70 hot dogs and thrown up?
Exactly. You know? But like, God, the way that they manipulate that stuff to make it where it's... I almost feel like it's not – this is a strange take, but I almost feel like it's not even in the spirit of the competition. Like, you're not even eating the hot dog.
So
you're
no
eating,
dunking the water, says Dan Ball.
I feel like you should have to eat the hot dog as the hot dog.
You take a sip of water, though?
Yeah, like, that's fine. Okay. That's fine. Right. But you have to eat, it's constructed where your tube of, you know, your tube of hot dog, your
tube of hot dog.
Whatever, you know, whatever, all the meat that goes into it is in the bun. That is your hot dog. It's not supposed to be the meat and then the bread on the side. I feel like you should have to eat them as constructed in the true spirit of a hot dog eating.
So dunking the water is almost like baseball in the steroid era, is what you're saying.
I would say so. I think you're giving yourself an unfair advantage.
No word on if Barry Bonds will enter a hot dog eating competition.
No. Chicken wings. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, that
are you flats or drums?
I'd mix it up. I'm more flats guy, but I'll have drums. I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't really
matter. Okay, cool.
I think for a contest part, though,
yeah,
drums might be better because you can just kind of rotate them and constantly eat.
I think so. Yeah. I've always been pro drums. I feel like I end up being in the minority with that, but I don't know. I don't really care. But the music is playing, which means it is time to wrap up WEEI Afternoons here on this Friday. John, always a pleasure to spend some time with you, my friend.
Really enjoyed it, man.
Hope everybody had a happy and safe 4th of July and that you continue to do so if you're driving, you know, make sure you haven't drank, and if you have, get a ride, make sure you do all that, but have a happy and safe remainder of your 4th of July weekend. We have the Infinity Sports Network coming up. Andy, Fitzy, and Ted will be back on WEEI Afternoons on Monday. We will talk to you then. See ya!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.